since it's a Monday morning and people have gone back to school and gone back to work, we weren't sure how many people would come to the Mass this morning, but I see we have many people. That's a beautiful tribute in honor of Sister Barbara. When we first built this shrine, we put our grotto there in honor of Our Lady of Lourdes, partly because we wanted to honor Our Lady and partly because we wanted to have a beautiful place, but also because we wanted to honor Father Francis's devotion to Our Lady of Lourdes, who was instrumental in his own conversion. Then 4 years later, when he died, he was buried there at the feet of Our Lady. When Sister Barbara died 4 years ago today, she was also placed before the feet of Our Lady at the side of Father Francis. And you can see, if you go to the grotto, we'll be going there after the Mass to bring some flowers. You can see there Sister Barbara Brennan, born September 2nd, 1934, died July 14, 2021. So exactly 4 years ago. Many of us were around then, maybe most of us. I certainly remember it. It was a Wednesday morning, and during the night, Sister Barbara had started to fail. Teresita was taking care of her. She did. So Teresita was her nurse during the night. She realized she was having difficulty breathing. She put on the oxygen to help her. And then she alerted Evelyn. Evelyn's probably here somewhere. Yeah. And Evelyn alerted us. We hadn't even done our morning prayer yet. It was probably 5:30 in the morning. And then so I went there. Sister was certainly weakening, and so I gave her the sacraments. We prayed a chaplet of Divine Mercy for her at that time. That was so early in the morning. And then we called the doctor. I called Sister Barbara's brother. I think Sister Carol called Angela, who's here today. And then we had a Mass. And I remember it because it was a Mass for the grace of a happy death. Mass for the grace of a happy death. I remember it because I have never in my whole priestly life used that liturgy except for that day. Because usually people are either sick and you're praying for their healing, or they've died already and you're praying for their soul. But she was on the threshold of dying, so we used that Mass for the grace of a happy death. After the Mass, Dr. Chip came. I don't know if she's here today. A good friend of Sister Barbara and her doctor, and she confirmed, the doctor, Dr. Chip, confirmed that Sister Barbara was very weak. She probably would not live through the day. And then she really started to fail just shortly after the Mass. And so many of us gathered in her room there. Probably some of you were here. It was during COVID time, so we weren't really allowed to gather in the room, but we broke all those protocols because we were with our sister who was dying. And then, I don't know if Angela called Evelyn or Evelyn called Angela, but one of them called each other. It's Angela who's here now and Mary who's here now. Where's Mary? Yes. So they were in Corning, New York, and for them it was Tuesday night at 9 o'clock at night. For us it was Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, but they made this video connection and we prayed together, the community here, those who could gather in Sister's room. I think Jenny was probably there, Ruben and Sarah, people from the office were here. And we prayed again, a chaplet of Divine Mercy with Sister Barbara and our members in Corning, New York, who were gathered together for their own reason, and they had this video link. They prayed with us, and they all prayed together, and she died while we were praying the chaplet of Divine Mercy. So how can I not remember that? It was a very beautiful death. So very beautiful, a very beautiful morning that Wednesday morning, July 14th. Her official time of death was 9:25. I looked it up, 9:25 in the morning. Okay, so that's why we're here, because it's her death anniversary. We have plenty of memories and plenty of reasons to be grateful. And we have our own intentions. We entrust to Sister Barbara as well. But since this is our 50th anniversary year, I want to go back 50 years. So here we are. Anuwim was founded in 1975. We're in 2025. And it was Sister Barbara who was given an interior message from the Lord, I think it was from Our Lady, sometime in earlier in 1975, I think it was in September. She received this message, what will begin on December 8th. That was it. What will begin December 8th. You know this story, but I'm going to repeat it because this is our way of honoring what God has done. So she was given this message. She had no idea what it meant. What will begin December 8th. She was in a religious community, cloistered community, dedicated to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. She didn't know what it meant. She had never met Father Francis, never heard of him, never. There was no Anglo community. And she just said, okay, I'll do something on December 8th. Sister Carol joined her in that desire to do something. I don't know exactly when they met. I think it may have been a month or two later in November. Sister Barbara met Father Francis. Wasn't particularly impressed with him, but found that he had some spiritual message, and I think it was Father who invited her or them to come to Corning for a program on liturgical renewal. Because Father Francis had been working on this for years, because that's what he had been given, this charism of liturgical life, of entering into the heart of the life of the church through the liturgy, of being guided by Our Lady of the liturgical life, and being formed by her. So that's what he was doing all the time. In 1975, Father Francis was 50 years old, Sister Barbara was 41 years old. And sure enough, on December 8th, they arrived in Corning, New York at the House of Prayer and started what we now call the Anawim community. So that was, that. Since we're honoring Sister Barbara, we have to honor that, those early stages. They had a very difficult relationship. Those of you who know them, maybe most of you didn't know Father Francis very well, but he was a very strong person, forceful personality, and so was Sister Barbara, and they clashed a lot. They were mature in religious life, and they were not simply young people wondering what to do. They had a very clear understanding of what God was calling them to do. So how to work together was the challenge. And this is true of every time you have two people together. Of course, it is always a work. But at some stage, early on, I think it was in February of 1976, Sister Barbara was given another message. She had, it was in the middle of the night, I don't know if she was dreaming or what it was, a vision, of angels singing, beautiful singing of angels. She couldn't quite tell what they were singing at first. And she kept going, what is this? What a beautiful thing. Many, many angels singing. And then gradually she got to recognize what they were singing. Put flesh on his word was the message she got. Put flesh on his word. Which she understood to be the spirituality given to Father Francis. So then she realized this was her work, to be this spiritual collaborator with Father Francis and take what had been given to him as a spirituality and put flesh on it. Make it a way of life in a community. And that was her project for the rest of her life, this spiritual collaboration with Father Francis. She insisted that she was not the founder. She would never accept the title of founder because Father Francis was the founder and he was the one who was given the spirituality. But we honor her now that she's passed away. We honor her as our co-founder because she can't resist the title, but it's really true. She's our co-founder or co-foundress because she, from the very beginning, worked with Father Francis to put flesh on the word, to bring this spirituality into reality in a community life. And that's why we're here. I think I've used this analogy before, but I'll mention it again. The relationship between them was something like the relationship between an architect and an engineer. Any of you who have worked with architects and engineers know they're always arguing with each other because the architects have the vision. They're the more creative side of the project. They see how they want it to look and how they want it to function. And the engineers recognize, they understand the principles of structures. And they say, you can't just build it like that. You have to have a foundation. You have to have these structural members to hold it. Otherwise, the place will collapse. So if you can imagine an architect and an engineer building a shrine, Well, the architect has the vision for how the shrine will look and how it will appeal to people, and the engineer has a sense of how it has to be built, the practical side. And that's I think, analogous to what Father Francis and Sister Barbara were doing. Father Francis had this vision. He had an understanding of how the life of the church could be lived day by day by following the word, pondering the word in the heart, being led by Mary. But he didn't really have an understanding of how to give that to other people. He struggled with it his whole life. Sister Barbara, who was a very practical person and had a gift of counsel, a gift of applying spiritual principles to practical realities, she was like the engineer, doing the practical work of helping people live this out. And that's why we're here, because we were guided, we were helped by Sister Barbara in so many ways, many of us in practical ways in our personal life, all of us in the sense of how this spirituality can actually be lived in practice. It's very beautiful that in honor of Sister Barbara, we're having this dental medical mission today, because she had a special concern for the sick and for the poor, and she would have loved to have a medical dental mission anytime. So we decided to have one during our 50th anniversary year, our Jubilee year, but we decided to put it today because in honor of Sister Barbara. Now, I didn't say anything about the readings. I'll just, we can't respect the animum charism if we don't touch on the readings of the day. The first reading is the beginning of the book of Exodus, when the Israelites are in Egypt. They went to Egypt as a refuge from the famine, and they were welcomed there because Joseph was there. We heard that last week. But as they remained there, they got rooted there, and eventually they were enslaved there. And there's a spiritual principle at work here. If we take refuge in anything other than God, even if we take refuge in good things God has given us, we eventually are enslaved by them. We cannot be attached to anything other than God himself and his will, because if we attach ourselves to anything, even a good thing, even our families, even our careers, even our projects, good for the good of the world, if we become attached to those things and not God, we become enslaved by them. Now, that's what happened to the Israelites. They were enslaved in Egypt. They went there to survive. They ended up being enslaved. Okay, we'll be following that story through the next couple of weeks, because we know what happens when we're enslaved in sin. We have to be rescued. We have to be freed. We need a Moses. We need a Jesus. In the gospel, Jesus is talking to the apostles about their mission and the hardships of it, how they will be divided even from their own family members. Sister Barbara had this painful experience herself. Even in her own family, there was one relationship that it never worked out. But I'd like to focus on this passage from the gospel. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of water to one of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward. Since we're honoring Sister Barbara on her death anniversary, we can reflect on the reward that she has received because she received a prophet. That was Father Francis. He was certainly a prophet. Whoever receives a prophet receives a prophet's reward. So Sister Barbara received the reward of being faithful to that word, to putting flesh on that word. Whoever receives a righteous man because he's righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. That's what she did with Father Francis. She didn't like him. She didn't get along with him. They had lots of personality differences, but she remained faithful to the work of collaborating with him to do the will of God. She definitely recognized him as a righteous man, and so she receives a righteous man's reward. And then this last line, which we can apply to the Anuim, giving even a cup of water to the little ones. The little ones, the dependent ones, the poor ones, the sick, the needy, the suffering. Sister Barbara had a very deep compassion for those who were in any need. So she will surely not lose her reward. We can be confident about that. But And Sister Barbara would want us to know this as well. She's not the only one called to put flesh on the Word. Father Francis is the only founder, but all of us who follow his spirituality are all called to put flesh on the Word. That's what it means to be an honorable member or to follow the honorable spirituality. So every day, let us strive more and more to ponder the Word of God and put it into practice. Let us strive more and more to receive the words of the prophets, to receive the gift of God through the righteous, and receive the reward for following the Lord faithfully. And let us dedicate ourselves to doing even small acts of charity to the little ones. Even a cup of water is a good deed which will reap its own reward. So let us follow these simple scriptural guidelines, aware of the intercession of our founder and our co-foundress, Sister Barbara, and aware that we ourselves are following in their footsteps.